Thank you, Father. Lord, we love you. We praise you and glorify you. We worship you so much, Abba. We give you all the praise and glory. We thank you for the blessings of the Lord on this last service of 2016. And with a great anticipation going forward, we give you all the praise. Help us. Help us, Father, to go into you like never before. Beginning now and always, in Jesus' precious name we pray. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for those that are watching around the world in different places. Lord, we speak blessings over their life and into their homes, into their families, into their marriages. Those that, Lord, are going through something right now. Lord, we speak a blessing to them. We pray that you'll visit them with wisdom, instruction, guidance, peace. We pray that, Lord, what they need more than anything else is another experience of baptism in your presence, Lord, a reality. In the power of your word, we pray. Form us into that image of Christ Jesus, we pray, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Well, I appreciate all of you here tonight. I didn't get a chance to hug everybody. I'll do that later when we fellowship a little bit. Some of you were walking by and saying hi, and I was trying to get something going here, so I apologize. But praise the Lord. I hope you took a nap, because some of you have a hard time staying awake in regular service. So since it's 2 hours later, I expect a lot of you to go to sleep. No, I'm just kidding. But I appreciate you being here, all of you, and we're expecting good things. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. We're going to have some fellowship in a little bit. We're going to receive communion together. But for a little bit, I just want to share the word with you. Let's go to Luke chapter 14 just for a little bit tonight. And this is a familiar portion of Scripture. We're going to read from here in just a few minutes. In fact, we'll cover most of the chapter. This being the last service of 2016, I would expect that you would expect, your expectation would be that we would teach something or present something inspirational. And that's the desire of our heart. But more than anything else, we want to present something that is a certainty, an absolute certainty of where we're going. And so that we are people that are, that we're not beating the air, that we're absolutely, as Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians, and I think we'll read that verse in just a few moments. But if anything tonight, we want to talk about where we're going and the certainty of it, the absolute certainty of it. More towards how we're going to absolutely get there. And I believe that we can have an absolute, don't you? Yes, we can have a sensitive, we can have a sense inside of us that we were really, really, absolutely. This is not a, it's not a mystery of how to get there. It's just whether or not do we want it bad enough. Do we want it enough? And so it's an absolute. And so let me ask you, I mean, this is probably the most simplest question that I can ask in this service, but what are we after as a body? Amen. I heard outpouring. I heard revival. I mean, to know him, that is probably the beginning of it, is to be so formed into his image that eventually that enough of us, and it really only takes one if it boils down to it, but enough of us are formed into his image so that the ultimate end is an outpouring, a revival. And so from the littlest one to the oldest one in here, I hope that we have rehearsed to you over the last 20 years enough that the simplest thing that you know that about this body, why we get together, is that we're seeking God for something more. Something that is way beyond the cusp of where most of the church dwells. And so with that in mind, I want to talk about charting the course of certainty, really just absolutely reiterating to you again tonight a sense of certainty of where we're going and how we're going to get there once again. The world is celebrating. You can hear, you know, fireworks going off, and that's great. Millions have already celebrated in certain parts of the world as the clock is, we're about 3 hours or less to midnight. I don't know, we don't have to necessarily have service till midnight or fellowship till midnight, but this is a watch night service, and we're watching the new year come in. Millions of people are assembled in Times Square in New York. I've been there a number of times. I don't think I'd be there tonight. but they're celebrating. And so, you know, the world is celebrating. Well, what is the world celebrating? I mean, what is exciting about seeing another year come in? During this service, we're hearing, you know, you might not be able to hear it that are watching, but we're hearing, you know, firecrackers go off, and through the night, it'll be hard to sleep in Immokalee because there's a lot of fireworks that go on through the night, and people are celebrating. They're celebrating a new year coming in. They're partially celebrating whatever successes they may have had in 2016, and I hope that you went someplace this year in the spirit that you didn't go last year. You know, last year we sat in here, and we're not going to do it tonight because that's not the order, and we wrote some things down. We allowed time for the Holy Spirit to speak to us, and we wrote some things down about what the Lord was asking us to do and what He was asking us to do individually and what He was asking us to do corporately. Now, I think every one of us in here, if we looked at that, if you were part of that service, or if you just said, "Man, I wasn't part of that service, but I had aspirations of 2016, if you took evaluation of yourself, hopefully, you know, there would be some things that you said, you know, yes, I accomplished that. That came to pass. None of us have arrived, so there's always room for improvement, and there's things that we look at sometimes and said, no, I didn't get that accomplished. But I look at my own self personally, and I hope that you can reflect and say, you know, that's kind of how I feel about myself. There were things that I did not accomplish, but there were things that I did accomplish. And there were things that I can say in the spirit that I went to that I'm so thankful for. We corporately, as a body, we saw some accomplishments in this past year. Just the foundational teachings. We had a number of series that come out in this past year. Who thought we would never get off of bayonet training, the ready reference? Yes, myself included. You know, 20 lessons. But those are foundational lessons, and they're there as bedrock, and there were several other series that came about this year. And those are bedrocks for revival, not just for you that know those things and kind of, you know, were steady already before that, but the onslaught of people that will come in the future. They'll have questions. We won't have to go and reteach all those. We'll just say, look, you need to listen to this. And there may be five of those lessons that answer every question that they have. We were able in the middle part of this year, in May, to get on YouTube. And people from all around the world have said they're watching our services. So God gave us the grace to accomplish that. We're Instagram, Facebook, a number of different social media outlets that we're beginning to, you know, to launch out. And so there has been a number of accomplishments. But I think the celebration that most people have at New Year's, it's not just like, oh, I lived another year and I see 2017, but it's a hope for the future. That's what people are there. Even the world, that are spending, you know, all that money out there on fireworks. The people that don't have the money to spend are spending all that money. They're celebrating. Hopefully, if they're in poverty, they're hoping next year is going to get better. They have a lot of celebration in an aspiration or a hope that 2017 is going to be a good year for them. Now, I can't answer the question for the world. I can just answer this. For those of us that will do Luke chapter 14 to the best of our ability, and with everything, I mean, if we'll engage with everything inside of us, we'll come to the end of 2017 exalted in Him and accomplishing more than we ever have in our life and coming to places in Him that we've never seen before. And because of that, I'm excited because I know there's a certainty. There's an absolute certainty. Let's read this because it comes up to me to read it. 1 Corinthians, I had this a little later in my notes. You're in 14, Luke 14. But turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And let's look at verse 24 together. This is what Paul said concerning his life. He said, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all?" In other words, there's a bunch of contestants. "But one receiveth the prize." And so he said to them and to himself, "So run that you may obtain." Not just participate, but run to receive a prize. Let me just stop right there. I'm going to read the rest of these verses. We live in an entitlement society. The world has gone entitlement. In other words, people believe that just because they breathe, they deserve something. And that's that's not the gospel. That's not the word. It's God loves everybody, but Paul in himself right here was saying that he ran with a commission to give it his all. Even the little kids now I'll give some room on this example. Like when I see my grandson, he's 5-6 years old, and they give him maybe all ribbons or trophies at the end of the year just for participation. That's all right for a little while. But when they need to grow, and I'm not for when they get in high school and in college giving everybody a participation trophy. You have championships because there's only one. And this thing about everybody needs to have an appreciation trophy, that's all right when you're like this. But God's called us to have a vision to say, look, I'm going for it. And I'm talking about collectively. And we're going for it with all the gusto, everything inside of us. And listen, I understand this. I understand that sometimes in your life, it's just you do need a pat on the back or a praise just for showing up. You know, just for showing up because the fight is that strong. But it really has to go past that. It has to go past to a place where you're saying, look, I want to be a contributor. I not only want to just show up and warm a seat, I want to give it my all, every bit, everything inside of me. Paul said this. Let's conclude this particular. Now, I'm mostly preaching right now instead of teaching, just exhorting. Verse 25 says, "Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things." Means he just, athletes, they watch their diet, they watch their rest, they watch their workouts, they do everything that they need to do to achieve. "Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore," Paul said of this of himself, "so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, but
as one that, or not, let me read this again, 26. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So Paul is saying this, I'm running for, it wasn't an egotistical thing with him. In another place, Paul, out of humility, he had to because it was the Holy Spirit, he said, concerning all the other apostles, I outlabored them all. In other words, there's no competition among us, but there should be something inside of us that says, if we're gonna get to where we're going, my call, what he's called me to do, I've got to give it my all. I've got to give it my all. And the other thing, too, is, like I said before, to receive this thing, we've got to get blinders on our peripheral. This has been hard for me at times as a pastor. It's been hard for probably elders, as elders that are really trying to their best to make this work. Listen, we don't have to make it work. We just have to do this, and it'll work for itself. But the peripherals are this, is like, what if he doesn't do it or she doesn't do it? Because it really does feel better when everybody is doing it. It really does feel better. It's like when a team all shows up, it feels better. When you got six people trying to play baseball, it's a lot harder than having 9 or 10 or whatever for a softball game. It's necessary. It's really good when everybody shows up. But the thing of it is one person. If just one person gets blinders on and says, look, it's not that I don't love everybody, but if they show up, don't show up, help out, don't help out, fast, pray, don't fast, pray, or whatever, it's okay. I wish everybody would participate, but whether they do or don't, I'm going in with God. That's what causes revival. That's what causes an outpouring when you choose to do that. Now, we're going to look at chapter 14, because I said we were. Let's look, this is so interesting here. And this right here is really what takes us in, or what would take anybody in. And it brings us to that place. Just before I read it, I want to say this. It brings us, this chapter here, if we follow it in 2017, it will bring us to a place of the exaltation that is contained in here. Now, we are up against what seems like impossible odds. Doesn't it seem that way? But even in the natural, I'm watching things that natural things that seemed impossible take place. I mean, we don't have to look any further than what's going to take place in 20 days, the inauguration. You know, 17 months ago, I myself, when I heard this guy was running, I thought, okay, he got past 16, he got past 16 of his own party candidates, and that was incredible in itself. And then he got the Republican nomination, Mr. Trump did, and then there was just no way possible. There was just no way possible. And I didn't even, in my natural brain, I was praying for him that he would make it. Yes, I prayed for him that he made it. Hallelujah. And but it was impossible. It was absolutely impossible. And you could exaggerate, but it seemed like there was 50 times where he said something or did something or something came out where everybody said, that's it. He bombed, man. He cut his own throat. That's it. That's the end of him. Forget that. And somehow he just made his way through. Listen, it doesn't look like we're at times making progress. We're going to find that path through him to make it all the way. Even the, this is amazing to me. Even the, I'm watching commercials now, and I don't know if you catch it or not, but like the American Cancer Society, I don't think that they know what they're doing spiritually, but I hear them, they've got commercials, they got two or three commercials or several commercials, and they're saying like they got different people that appear in front of the camera. You know, they'll have women, men, black, you know, white, Hispanic, and they're saying this, cancer, we are going to beat you. You will not, and that's how they do it. Cancer, we're going to beat you. This generation will be the generation that stops you, cancer. They say it. Oh, I mean, have you seen the commercials? I've seen them several times. And I'm saying, my God, they are challenging the impossibility, and they're doing it with their words, and they're doing it with a sense of, like, this is it. We're drawing the line in the sand. We're not going to put up with this anymore. And there's no, like, you know, thus saith the Lord behind it. It's just the natural, they're just naturally saying, this is it. This generation stops cancer. Well, if they can do that in the natural, if Mr. Trump could if he did that, we're going to see revival. I'm tempted to read it again. I read Wednesday night, it blew our minds. Did it blow our minds about Miss, you know, when I saw Miss Mother Jenkins, Mary Mother Jenkins, when I saw her down in Naples, I had to call the Plamondons were on the road, and I said, what's that lady's, 'cause I remembered the whole event, I just couldn't remember her name. When we saw her down in Naples, I wish to goodness that I would have went up there and got my picture taken with her. She's 101 years old, and she's talking like she was trained. I knew that night that she was trained by Smith Wigglesworth, but I didn't know until I read the article and I read all those things that she did in her life. 27 babies she delivered from the dead. 27 babies she delivered. She got one guy out of a mortuary that they had already planned his funeral. The taxi was waiting outside. She went in the mortuary, got the guy, and actually he showed up for his own funeral is what they said. She separated one time in a New England insane asylum. She emptied the whole insane asylum. She separated Siamese twins. She went in with the Siamese twins who had just, she actually got a vision from the Lord. The Lord said, I want you to do this, go there, do this. And she got the whole thing. She went there to that city. I think she got a bus ticket or a plane ticket or whatever. She flew in there and went there. The Siamese twins were there. She went in, and however God did it, the whole hospital was like in an uproar when she left. You remember all those miracles I read? And that even that week, when I was there, she sat up there and said, I'm 101. I drove myself, she was from Baltimore, Maryland. She said, I drove myself to the airport to get here down in Florida. Nobody rode with her on the plane. And she said, I'm going to go back. And she said, I loved it. She was sitting up there. And she goes, she got up. She goes, I can stand and preach, but I'm going to sit down and preach. I thought to myself, well, 101, yeah, God bless you. You deserve it. And she read from the Word, and she preached, and she said, Lucifer, you didn't want me to come down here and do this, but you couldn't do a thing about it. Not a thing about it. She said, she didn't say then, but then that article verified everything she said. She said, one time I went blind, and the article said in her 60s she went blind, and that night in Naples she said, I went blind one time. She said, Satan talked me out of my sight, and I went blind. And she said, I put the Word of God back in my mouth, and I talked my sight back in. I got my sight back. Praise God. She was healed of kidney disease. Her kidneys had failed. She was healed of heart disease. Actually, the longer she lived, the better she got. In her 60s, she was a kind of a mess. She went blind, and then before she got to be 100 and stuff, she was cruising. Praise God. Hallelujah. I read Wednesday night, for any of you that weren't here, where the actual cutoff point was in the Word of God, and explain that. It's in Genesis chapter 6. You do have a promise. You could live to be 120. What does that mean? That means that And I read some people that hey, did you know that right now? Well, I don't know right now. It's increased because in 2014 there was 72,000 people living in America over the age of 100. 72,000. There might be up around 100 or more maybe now of 100-year-old millennial people living over 100. Isn't that amazing? The longer we live, the older we get. Hallelujah. Sounds like it was a redundant statement, but it's true. That means if you're 70, you got enough. If you could go ahead and believe for that fullness, you still got another half a century to live. And if you were like Mother Jenkins, if you were in your 60s or 70s, or even younger, and your body was a mess, that don't mean that you couldn't improve and actually come out of all of it and get healthier right on up to the day you died. Isn't that amazing? How old do y'all want to? I tell you what, we never vote around here, but I feel like voting tonight. How old do y'all, if 120 is old, and that's when you, because there are people, and I gave you some names of people that were 117, 116, so let's say 120 is old. We'll say that's old. But if 120 is old, what cutoff date around here would y'all say that we can start calling people old, really old? 100? 100. 101? What do you think? Okay. I'll tell you what, we'll pull it down. We're getting in the 100 area. We'll just call it even 100, okay? 100 years old. Nobody in this congregation is going to be considered old unless they're at least 100. Okay? Anybody around here that starts that stuff in their 70s or 80s or 60s that I can't do as much as I used to because I also took you to a place in Deuteronomy chapter 34 where the Bible says, and Moses was 120 and his eye was not dim nor his natural strength abated. Now, he lived out that. So if y'all start any of that stuff like I'm getting old and this comes along with age, we ain't going to have none of that. Hallelujah. We'll let you get old when you're, and see, when you get old, when you're 100, when they say, where's Papa? I want to be out in the car blowing it, a horn. I'm out here. Come on out here. No, nobody needs to help. If Mama Jenkins could go to the airport and fly down by herself, nobody helped her out. We ought to be able to walk around here real good at 100. Why are you saying that? Because we have got a future in front of us, and we've got to cause revival. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, let's look at this. We've looked at it several times before in the past, but this is really good. And it came to pass, verse 1 of 14, as he went into a house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. They watched Jesus. Now, where'd Jesus go? Help me out here. He to a Pharisee's and to a chief Pharisee's house. Now, you know, Pharisees were what? They were part of a religious order of the day. Josephus says there was about 6,000 of them during the time of the first century. And they were a group. The word Pharisees means separatist. That's what it means. There's separation. They come about before the time of Christ because after the second temple building, they wanted to preserve the law, and they got all these oral commandments that they come up with. But Jesus actually, even though he had a lot of confrontations with them, he went into this Pharisee's house to eat bread on the Sabbath day, and behold, there was a certain man before him which had dropsy. Dropsy is, what's that word, edema? Edema. It's the same thing. It's water retention because of congestive heart failure. That's what it is. It's the old-fashioned name for that, dropsy is. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? They held their peace, and he took him and held him and let him go. Isn't that, you can get that picture. He didn't lay hands on him. He held him. And then he let him go. And I don't know how they saw the edema leave. unless he just was all bloated and then all of a sudden he kind of, you know, looked normal again. That'd have been amazing to see that. And answered them and saying, which of you have an ass or an ox fallen into the pit will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him again to these things. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, because he's watching all this. Jesus is watching these people come in here. When he marked how they chose the chief rooms, and the rooms were not like that room, this closet. It's just like getting closer to where, you know, the host is at. He marked how they chose the chief rooms, saying unto them, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable, he's using a wedding as a feast or a get-together, more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he, the host, that bade thee, and him, the man that he's someone else, another guest, come to thee and say to thee, give this man place. And thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee come, he may say to thee, friend, go up higher. Then thou shalt have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now, we've read this through in the last 20 years, dozens and dozens of times. But still, nevertheless, this is the certainty of revival. If you or I can find out how to debase ourselves, not with sackcloth and ashes, but to bring ourselves into a place of this example, then the retrospect of that is this. Jesus will come, and he will, as the host, he will exalt you. And the exaltation is spelled out here. You become one that is able to provide the meal that God wants to set before all humanity. That's what we want. That's called revival. Now, he said the entitlement people are the people that they're not willing to give their life for anything. They just believe that because they're here, they can jockey to the front of the everything that's going on. And this is not a real supper per se. This is life. This is the kingdom of God. But Jesus is saying, look, to the one, here's the example. It's not who cleans the toilets. Or it's not who can say, give me something to show everybody I'm humble, or help me find a way to give some kind of example of humility. The example or the de-exalting, if you want to say it that way, or the abasing of oneself has everything to do with this example. Jesus said, instead of trying to find the front, you go to the back. And it wasn't that being back there alone, just that example of going to the back of the room was the real example of the spiritual application. But here's the spiritual application. He said, every time that you find yourself stepping around somebody to get further to the back, you're saying this, I count you better than myself. I'm finding a way to get around you because servants live back there. And the more everybody that I can step around, I'm saying to you in my heart and publicly, I'm here to serve you. My whole life is to go into him to give you the bread that he's provided for. And what bread is that? That's the bread that he provided on the cross. Every time that you find a way to go further into servanthood, and it's spelled out here. It's absolutely spelled out here. You find a place of exaltation. It says here, Jesus said in verse 12, and he said, and then said he also to him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or supper, call not thy friends or thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and recompense be made to thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, then thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot repent thee. For thou shalt be recompensed in the resurrection of the just. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that eateth bread in the kingdom of God. And then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and bade many. And set his servant at supper time to say unto them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. How many of you women have ever cooked something? See, when Candy cooks all day, when she says it's ready, she don't want us to continue to sit in there at the TV or what do stuff with the your you know, I'm surfing right now. It's ready. Listen, everything that he's provided is ready. He got the good man here in the example, he got mad because they wouldn't come because it was ready. Hallelujah. What we've got to give to the world's already ready. Amen. Look here, he said this. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground. I must needs go see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Okay, so I bought some real estate. Would you go back and tell the man that invited me to come to this great supper, please have me excused. I can't make it because I've bought this real estate. And he says, and they all with one to another, verse 19, and another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I must go prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another one, so here's what we could we say today. That's, I've got equipment. I've bought business stuff. I'm involved in a business dealings, transactions. Another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and showed his lord all these things, and the master of the house, being angry, said unto his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes and the cities, and bring in the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the lord said unto his servant, Go out into the highways and the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Now listen. Here's a book that is subsequently, I should say, it's not in and of itself, it's of itself, you can toss it. Subsequently, subject to this word, it's a divine book. It's a divine book. You say, what is it? Well, some of you already guessed what it is, but I'll tell you what it is in just a moment. When he went through this litany of stuff, none of that stuff's wrong. In fact, in other parts of the word, entrepreneurship is encouraged for stewardship. In fact, one place Jesus is talking about stewards that he said, the rich man gave 5 talents. And 2 talents, and 1 talent. And when he returned, he was expecting return on that. In other words, investment. There should have been an investment. And he chastened one for not doing anything. He said, at least you could have put the money that I gave you in the bank and drawn interest on it. So, and we know the ministry of helps and all that. So, this doesn't go against that. It doesn't go against... in other words, there's nothing per se wrong with any of those things. It's not wrong to buy property. It's not wrong to buy equipment. It's not wrong to marry a wife. The only problem was they overbooked. They didn't schedule him in. They did not see. Here's the road to absoluteness. All those things could have been in God. They could have been in God. But when you don't go to Him first and you overbook your life and he's not first, then all those other things can stand in between you and him, and they're all can be legitimate excuses. I mean, you don't go to hell for marrying a wife. You don't go to hell for buying a piece of property. The only thing is, all those things kept those people from having anything to do with the supper. And you know what the supper is? It's a revival. And so here's the deal. One of the you going in and me going in 2017 and receiving his exaltation is not based on whether or not you will pray or you will fast, or let's say whether you make the decision to pray or fast. It's whether or not you put it on the calendar. And maybe you don't have a calendar. I'm just using this as an example. But if you don't ever right away put the blackout dates in, this is when I'm going to fast, or these are the days, or these are the hours. If you leave it up to chance, you'll never get there. You won't get there. Even a good intention. No, my intention this year is to pray more, fast more. We're going into 2017. Amen? Tick tock, tick tock. It's time to put the toys away, okay? It's time really to just, for all of us, myself included. And you guys are the cream of the crop because you're here on a Saturday night. Hallelujah. At 9:30. It's almost 10 o'clock. But here's the deal. Not physically, but yes, it could be. But do you have one of these? Do you have will you know, okay, so we're going to give you a break. Tomorrow's the first. Will you know 3 days from now your blackout dates? Or will you know what your schedule is for your prayer time, for your fasting time, for your going in? Because here's what he says in closing on this. He says this: if any man come to me and hate not his father, well, he turned. Okay, let me read verse 25. There went with him a great multitude with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father, mother, wife, children, brethren, sister. Jesus is pretty tough, isn't he? It's pretty tough. But this is for the people that really, really will go in and receive revival for him and with him. And his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it? Lest happily after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to build it or finish it, and all that behold it begin to mock him and say, this man began to build, the tower of course is your life or your ministry, and was not able to finish. And he goes on, give others examples to just to reiterate the same thing. What king goes to war against another king and doesn't sit down first and consulteth whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him? If he sits with all his generals, are we able, tell me, what's the strategy here, to meet him that cometh with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great while off, he sends ambassadors and desires conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever of he that be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith it shall be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Or it says basically, let him hear. But that's what I'm saying, let him hear what the Spirit says. Hallelujah. Are you ready? Amen. 2017, what's our certainty? Our certainty is this. If you find the blackout dates, what is that? Well, fasting, prayer, what is the certainty of how to get there? How do we get there? We know. We basically know it's whether we'll do. Okay? It's whether we'll do. And all the competition of us doing is not the devil so much. He'll fan the flames of that, But the competition of ever doing is, all those things in competition was, beginning at the lowest part, was self. Wife, husband, children, blah, 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 on and on and on. And he wants businesses to thoroughly just be furnished with every good thing. He wants families. He wants, God loves families. The only thing is, the good man did not get mad because they did those things. He got upset because they had so booked their life that they had overbooked. And I can't right now. I can't attain to that. I can't go in. You go in first, and then out of that, everything else springs. Out of that, everything has life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand together. Rex and Marty, would you please come? Would you guys, Mavis, if you could, well, I tell you what, would you get up and give us some music? I'm going to ask us, we're going to come and receive communion together. And, you know, I think it'd be just good if we all stood up here around the front together. That'd be a real good thing. So when you get where you can, these guys will bring this over. And everyone that is at home, if you want to pause the video and go get some elements, just some juice, apple juice or grape juice, and a small piece of bread, you can receive communion with us. So everybody, please, come on down. They're celebrating outside. Hallelujah. We have some for later if anybody, some people have sent their blessings in. Some people have come by and brought them. But if anybody has anything they want to bless the church with tonight, the offering plates are up here. I'm going to pray over these. You know, this hasn't been a communion message, but we know what communion stands for. And it's all about loving each other. It's all about forgiveness. And I tell you what, why don't we all receive our elements? And if once you stand, I'm going to pray over all of you as the pastor, and then we'll all take it together. So go ahead and receive. Hallelujah. Well, Father, we just thank you and we praise you for this family. Lord, the Family Prayer Center of Immokalee, and for the people around the world that may be listening and watching, we love them. We pray for them. We pray for everybody here. We thank you for the growth in this house, the spiritual growth and the numerical growth. Father, we thank you for the families that are here and the individuals that are here. We're asking your blessing upon 2017 in a way that we've never seen before, the power of the Holy Ghost among us. Now, Father, we pray that as we receive this as a body, we do it in anticipation of 2017 being a year that you help us find that place of servanthood, going into a place where we take up our cross, follow you, love you more than anything else in this world, die to self, and are crowned with a crown that, Lord, is a living martyr's crown. Father, I bless these people. I bless your people, and we receive this. Lord, forgive us. If there's any unforgiveness in our hearts, if there's any malice, cleanse us, wash us, purify us by the precious blood of Jesus. And Father, we receive both the body and the blood in Jesus' name. Amen.